to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed by thy name.
An alpha female, the way I define it is a go-getter, very task-oriented. While it can be advantageous in certain areas, and certainly in a marriage and when it comes to love and men, it is not a good thing at all.
I know some prophets who literally have a prophetic batting average worse than a National League bullpen pitcher right now.
The good news of Scripture is that we can come to God with the multitude of our sinful desires and behavior in repentance, knowing that the condemnation for those sins has been taken upon Christ on the cross.
Confessional Lutheran Missionary Campus Pastors, Love, Issues, Etc.
It is almost axiomatic, a bit of a cliche for Lutherans to talk about law and gospel. And when law and gospel is turned into a cliche, in other words, when we say there are two doctrines in Scripture, God's law and God's gospel, and then use that in order to dismiss all other doctrines, or at least the importance of other doctrines, we have strayed from the spirit of that vital distinction, without which we say Scripture remains a closed book, the distinction between law and gospel. That's just one of the ways that the two can be confused or the teaching be misused. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, March the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to begin with part four of our series on Lutheran identity with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, talking about law and gospel as a Lutheran distinctive. After our conversation with Dr. Schmidt, we will spend some time with Pastor Chris Roseborough this week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to talk about Brian Houston's teaching, You Are the One. Brian Houston, of course, of Hillsong Church, the mother church, the mothership church of so many churches across the country, so many mega churches across the country and the globe. Then in hour two of Issues Etc., we'll discuss the season of Lent upon which the church has embarked. Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be our guest. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is a regular guest. He's Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. He joins us for part four of our series on Lutheran identity today to talk about law and gospel. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back.
Thank you again.
For Luther himself, how important was the distinction between law and gospel in looking at God's Word?
Vitally important. In fact, it's one of Luther's major contributions to have made this distinction. And so I devote a whole chapter in the book on it, Law and Gospel, as I call it, God's Dichotomy. Luther had made an interesting comment, and I'm going to quote from it. He says, quote, "You will not find anything about this distinction between law and gospel in the books of the monks, the canonists, the recent and ancient theologians. Augustine taught and expressed it to some extent. Jerome and others like him knew nothing at all about it. In other words, for many centuries, there has been a remarkable silence about this in all the schools and churches." End of Luther's quote. That already indicates how important he saw this distinction. And Luther, in many ways, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Lutheran, was in many ways a theological genius. There's no doubt about it. He furnished to the churches doctrines and insights that just others had not picked up on. Another one that I discuss later on in the book is his insights pertaining to, for example, the theology of the cross that was basically ignored. Paul wrote about it, but after that, very few people caught the concept of the theology of the cross. But going back to law and gospel, Luther believed and argued, and I think it's interesting, I have often run into non-Lutheran theologians and pastors. They may not use the term very much, but they all seem to remember, and as a rule, fondly so, of Luther's emphasis on law and gospel. Luther also argued, and by the way, then later on, C.F.W. Walser, here in the United States, then in the 1800s, P. picked up on it, and we have a book, as you know, for readers may be interested in knowing, it's many of them may already have a copy as well, called Law and Gospel. Walther, when he was president of the seminary, as well as president of the synod in St. Louis here, would in the evening have sessions with students, and he would talk about law and gospel, the importance of distinguishing between the two. And it resulted finally in a book being published, although when Walther gave it, he didn't necessarily think it would be published as a book. But it's seen kind of as a Lutheran classic today after Luther, because Walther expands on the law and gospel in many ways in terms of, in addition to what Luther said. Luther also said that the gospel is not known to any person in nature. We know the law. By nature, man knows the law, but he does not by nature know the gospel. Because, for example, Paul in 1 Corinthians says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him. And he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So you can see that the gospel is not something we can pick up or understand by nature. We do understand, pick up by nature, the law. It tells us already just by common sense and so on and so forth not to do certain things. And if we do, we get into trouble. But not so with the gospel. So Luther felt it was very important for, and interestingly also said, that to distinguish between law and gospel rightly, correctly, is a difficult task that he himself said never fully mastered. And that is also very, very true and good to know. It may at first blush seem, when you talk about law and gospel, that it's rather easy to distinguish. No, not easy, not necessarily so. So if you will, I have on page 101 to page 102 some examples that I have largely extrapolated from Walther's discussion of how we may confuse law and gospel. And by the way, this is, when you listen to a lot of the preaching on the airwaves on television or radio, frequently the confusion of law and gospel is very, very obvious to a well-informed Luther. So let me cite, if I may, some of the ways law and gospel is confused. One, the law rather than the gospel is used to motivate Christians to do good works. Now, most people think, well, what's wrong with that? No, a proper distinction between law and gospel says you only use the gospel to motivate people, but if you get people to do things as a result of the law only, you get them to do the right thing for the wrong reason. You see, that's what happens when we don't distinguish between law and gospel. And most Lutheran pastors, after they come out of the seminary in 4 years, are very much sensitized to using the gospel to motivate people to reflect God's will, rather than clubbing over the head with the law to have them do that. Lutherans will not say, well, if you don't do this, God will damn you. No, why? If you do this, for example, you're showing forth the love that God extended to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, by his suffering and death and his resurrection on the cross. Another way it may be confused is when Christians are told they are saved on account of their faith rather than through faith. Now, that may seem like splitting hairs, but it really isn't. When it's on account of faith, then you are saved in reality in terms of what you are doing. But when you're saved through faith, it is not something you're doing, but you're saved through God's word, namely the gospel. Another way, small sins are represented as being no sins. That's another confusion of law and gospel. Sin, for the smallest sin condemns you. To say, for example, the small sins are of lesser significance in God's sight is not necessarily true. Still another, Christians are told that God is pleased when they do the best they can. Most people will probably think nothing wrong with it, but that's a confusion of law and gospel. God's not interested in doing the best we can. He wants us to be perfect. Of course, we know from law and gospel teaching we are not perfect. So we have to resort or fall back on God's forgiveness conveyed in the gospel. A fifth confusion, Christians are led to believe they must have a lot of faith in order to be saved. I don't have enough faith, so I can't be saved, is what some people say. Ouch. That's confusion of law and gospel. The Bible tells us that as smoking flax, he will not remit, or small little ember, he will not extinguish. In other words, God does not save us relative to the degree or the amount of faith. And if you confuse law and gospel, people tend to think you have to have a certain amount of faith. Well, the scripture doesn't set any formula in terms of the amount. Six, a contrite Christian is presented with more law instead of being comforted with the gospel. If a person comes into a pastor's office and already totally repentant, remorseful of what has happened or what he or she may have done in his life, you don't give him more law. You give him gospel now. But if you do give him more law, you're confusing law and gospel. That's the last thing the person needs, who's already repentant and broken down emotionally, etc., for what he or she had done in life, and now comes to the pastor and reveals his problem. Another example is the gospel is preached without any law. That, too, is a confusion of the gospel. So often, sometimes we almost tend to fall into that category. We tend to say, God loves you, God loves you. Well, God loves you, that's not quite the whole story. The Bible and the catechism also say we should fear and love God. Yes, there is an important aspect of fearing God, too. But if you, for example, or I were to say, to preach the gospel without law, or just gospel, you're confusing law and gospel. Or when the reverse is true, preaching the law without the gospel. Still another. Christians are taught that their faith justifies them before God, rather than faith being the hand that receives God's promises in the gospel. Or another, Christians are taught to trust their emotions rather than God's word in order to be certain they are justified before God. Luther so frequently would say, if I rested my faith and belief in terms of emotions, some days it would be high, some days it would be low. That would not give me a great deal of insurance. So again, it's not a matter of how much we trust our emotions and the like, but how much we trust God's word. And still another example is, when God is presented only as a God of love, related to what I said, devoid of any wrath, that's a confusion of law and gospel. Or when Christians are told that a Christian is always happy and joyful. Oh, that's another example. Christians are not always happy and joyful. They suffer, as the scriptures tell us, we shall too much trial and tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. But some may say, well, if you're not a Christian, not happy, you're not a Christian. Ouch. Bad theology, confusion of law and gospel. And, for example, Christians are led to believe that they must feel they are saved. Again, it's related to what I said before, but it's not how I feel or you feel about the truthfulness of the gospel, but what his objective word says. And Luther was great in emphasizing that we take him at his word, not how I feel about it. And finally, I might say that Christians are led to believe that they are saved by faith together with good works, a very common error found in Roman theology to this day, that you're saved by faith and works. I have a book on my shelf where it says, Not by Faith Alone, written by a Catholic theologian, and the book has the imprimatur, for example, of the highest authority in the Catholic Church. So there's another confusion of, and by the way, this goes back to what we talked about earlier, to the Council of Trent, where it declared, for example, in the ninth canon, quote, if anyone shall say that by faith alone the sinner is justified, so as to understand that nothing else is required to cooperate in the attainment of grace of justification, and that it is in no way necessary that he be prepared and disposed by the action of his own will, let him be anathema, end of quote. That's how Rome looks at the teaching of saved by faith alone As for clearly it's taught in Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace you are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Romans 3:27 says very similar things. So Rome rejects it. You're saved by faith and works together. And I might add, they draw this from the Epistle of James. If it weren't for James, they wouldn't have legs to stand on.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest. It's part four of our series on Lutheran identity. Today we're talking about the distinction between law and gospel. When we come back, if these are the two great doctrines of Scripture, does that mean that other doctrines are unimportant in Scripture, or that the other information, the historical information, is also unimportant? We'll get Dr. Schmidt's answer to that right after this.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, Chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical confessional Christianity and Lutheranism, and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211. 452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Part four of our series on Lutheran identity. Today we're talking about law and gospel with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. Law and gospel is just one of the subjects dealt with in this compendium of things that, well, if you want to understand what Lutheranism is and you want to understand what makes Lutheranism distinct in some ways from so much of the rest of, well, for lack of a better example, Protestantism out there, this is the book you want to read, The Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity by Dr. Alvin Schmidt. Find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Schmidt, saying that law and gospel are the two great doctrines of Scripture, that doesn't mean that other doctrines aren't taught in Scripture, or that other doctrines, if they're taught, don't matter. For that matter, also the historical information in the Bible.
Oh, of course. That's a very good point. And by no means do I want to imply that you know, the only doctrines. Of course not. All kinds of other doctrines we have, for example, in terms of when we declare the resurrection of Christ as being a historical event that happened in history. That's a major teaching. Of course, the whole Christian church stands or falls on that particular teaching. It's also interesting to note that, for example, and this is again another hallmark of Lutheran identity, our classical Lutheran hymns are permeated with law and gospel. so many times people like just a tune and they ignore the words. The Lutheran hymnals, for the most part, have law and gospel in every hymn. Now, some hymns are not as strong on that as others are, but nevertheless, for the most part, that's very true. And I often wonder when people sit and sing a hymn in church, are they listening to the law aspect in the hymn as well as the gospel aspect? And good classical Lutheran chorales, starting way back from the days of Luther, very much emphasize law and gospel in the content of the hymn. And again, not the tune that was most important, which, of course, gets the emotions going, the tunes. It's interesting, many years ago, long before the birth of Christ, Plato, a Greek pagan philosopher, once said, let the individuals write the laws, I'll write the tunes. In other words, I could influence them more by the tunes than they would by the law that they write. And there's a great deal of truth to that. A lot of that we see, for example, today in so-called evangelical theology. Even you see it on radios and the like. Shall we gather at the river? So on, so down the line. These kind of hymns that are sung, they are basically devoid of law and gospel.
Now, you quote from Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, where he says this distinction is important because, in a nutshell, all salvation turns upon it. What is he saying?
Yeah, that's very, very true. And we as Lutherans need to be very thankful for Luther making this distinction. Of course, it's in the Bible. But Luther is able to, what shall I say, explain it as it is in the Bible. Because, you know, when you read the epistles on the Gospels, it's very clear, for example, that the law is there and the gospel is there. Now, it's not cited as such, but that's the contribution that Luther made. The Christian church has to understand law and gospel, because if we don't understand it, we confuse ourselves and are subject to be ultimately lost and not even understand what God accomplished with his son on the cross and the open tomb. And we really can't emphasize it enough. And most pastors try very hard to preach law and gospel. It's sort of an ethic that they have deeply absorbed, and rightly so. And I'm not saying that in any way of being boastful and the like. And I've heard many times when I circulated in professional societies like the Evangelical Theological Society, primarily a non-Lutheran group composed of conservative theologians and all the denomination, would often, when they encountered as a Lutheran, it's certain, sooner or later they come, yeah, you people like law and gospel. And they meant it as a compliment.
So how would you describe the danger? And you say there's so many Protestant denominations, although some seem to be discovering it, so many Protestant denominations and confessions of faith that don't think in terms of law and gospel. What's the danger there?
Well, I think if you don't think in terms of law and gospel, you're probably going to think primarily of law. You know, how many times have I not heard people, when they've done something bad, God's going to get me for what I've done, but I'm going to continue to doing what I'm doing. Well, that person is totally law-oriented, has no understanding of gospel. And it surfaces in many other ways. For example, when we teach, for example, even our own children, we may teach them to be law-abiding and people, but we also want to say that as a Christian, you want to do this out of love for what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. Given the motivation, the gospel is a motivating power for the Christian. And when the gospel is not used as a motivating power, we tend to use the law. And that's confusing law and gospel, and not in any ways comforting the person or helping the person, but leads him or her to, number one, if you go only by the law, you may be completely morbid and depressed and feel almost suicidal. Or the other reverse can take place, that you become self-righteous. You think you have saved, you are saved because you only do good things. There are some denominations that believe you can eventually, as a Christian, fully keep God's law. That's another classic example of confusing law and gospel. No one can keep God's law. As the scripture says, all have sinned and come short and fall short of the glory of God. None have do good. Imagination is evil from his youth. So the Bible is very clearly, or in sin did my mother conceive me, as David wrote relative to, for example, in Psalm 51, verse 5. In sin did my mother conceive me, and so on and so forth. We are by nature sinful creatures, and we will tend to revert to the law unless we are motivated and understand the gospel, which as Christians, and when you and I love the gospel, it is not because there's any good in us. It's because the gospel itself has changed us in terms of not relying on the law.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. Dr. Schmidt, thanks for your time.
My pleasure again, and thank you for having me.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is with us on the other side of the break. It's time for This Week in Pop American Christianity on this Friday, March the 3rd. We're going to talk about Brian Houston of Hillsong in Australia teaching You Are the One. Stay tuned.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Hi, I'm Pastor Palmer from Catalina Lutheran Church in sunny Tucson, Arizona. We're a confessional, liturgical, hymn-singing, Bible-teaching, gospel-preaching congregation, and we would love to share God's good gifts of word and sacrament with you. Look us up online at catalinalutheran.org or give us a call at 520-825-9255. God be with you.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. TheCLCC.org.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri. And Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.